Truly a wonderful blessing. I love the saying that says that a baby is God's way of saying that we should go on. So, welcome to Little Dominic. And welcome again to each one of you this morning. It's good to have each one of you here. Such a beautiful spring day. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. For a short devotional, I'd like to look at one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And that is the story of blind Bartimaeus. The hope and the faith that Bartimaeus had, and how it was rewarded. So we're going to read in Mark chapter 10, we're going to read verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Now I'm just going to pause there a little bit. Notice the change in tense. So it's been talking in past tense all the way up to middle of verse 49. So this happened, this happened, this happened, and now all of a sudden it's saying present tense. So they say to him, "Come." And I think that's beautiful because it's a way of making that story personal to each one of this. Christ is saying that now to each one of this. "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What will that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So a few things that I see in this story, we're going to touch on briefly. One of the first is that this blind man was known by name. We have lots of stories in the Bible of people that Jesus healed. Rarely are they named. This was somebody that was well known. We don't know if it's because of what happened later as he followed Christ, or more likely, it's somebody who had been there for a long time. He'd been a beggar that was there for years. People knew who he was. People knew his name. Blind Bartimaeus was a fixture. They knew what his plight was. They understood who he was and what he was. We could say he was labeled. That's who this man is. He is blind Bartimaeus, and he's got this label over him. And so often we do that to each other, don't we? We label somebody. There's blind Bartimaeus. There's lame duck. We've got these little labels that we stick on each other. And the other thing is that being so well known, he was probably after a while overlooked. Because the saying is, familiarity breeds contempt. Sure, he was in plight, you know, and the first couple times you go past, you feel sorry for him and drop a few shekels in there into his little begging bowl. But next time, you know, he's still there. And the next time, he's still there. And so after a while, you kind of forget that he's still just as blind today as he was 3 years ago. And it's easy for us to do that sometimes, too, to get inured to the plights of people around us, because it's always been that way. It's always been difficult. And so we kind of shut off our compassion there a little bit. Second thing that I see here is that he heard it was Jesus. So it tells me that he paid attention to his surroundings. He wasn't just sitting there wallowing in himself. He heard what was going on. This, it says it was a crowd of people, and if it's anything like the crowds that it talks about in other other places that went with Jesus. It was a large crowd and probably noisy. How did he pick out that one salient fact, that one thing that was crucial, that it was Jesus? He paid attention. He was looking for it. He was looking for an opportunity like this. He used what he had. He couldn't see. Meant he couldn't just get up and go walking in a crowd like this because he didn't know where they were going and what he might bump into. But he used what he had. He used his hearing, and he picked out the important fact. And he was able to sort through the noise of all those people and focus on that one thing. And why was that one thing so important to him? It was because it gave him hope. And I've read in many places of people who have gone through torture, Christians, even non-Christians in captive situations. The thing that keeps them going is hope. If they think they can get out of it, they can hang on. And for a Christian, of course, we have hope of eternal life. Well, Bartimaeus had this hope. He had a hope that Jesus could do something for him. So what did he do then? He cried out, and he was unashamed about what people thought of him. And that's the way it is. When something's important enough, we don't care about people anymore. Many times, it's an indicator of how important something is to us if the first thing we're worried about is what other people think. Then that thing probably isn't super high on our importance scale. Because when something really gets up there, we don't care about what people think. And that's what it was for Bartimaeus. Everyone was telling him to hush. Don't make a ruckus. But he didn't care. He kept on going. The thing about Bartimaeus, again, so he used what he had in listening for Jesus, and now he used what he had to get close. He couldn't do like the woman did who crept up and touched the hem of his garment because he didn't know where Jesus was. But he used what he had. He had his voice. And he knew how to use it, apparently, because it disturbed a lot of people. So he used that. And it makes me think we have different tendencies, we could say, or different talents. And our tendency is often to focus on someone else that has a little different talent than we do and say, well, because I don't have that talent, I don't have a talent. I don't have any way that God can use me because he's not using me in the way that he's using somebody else. And that's not true. If Bartimaeus would have said that, you know, I can't creep up there and touch the hem of his garment, so I might as well not even do anything. He wouldn't have got anywhere, but he used what he had. And I, applying that to ourselves, that's the way our souls are in crying out to Christ. We need to do it with disregard for anything else. We need to cry out to God to save us. And then Bartimaeus understood who Jesus was. What did he say? He said, "Thou son of David." And there was a clear understanding of the lineage of Christ. And in that was a clear understanding of Christ as the Messiah. He was recognizing Jesus not only as a healer who could help him, but as the healer who could save Israel, who could heal him eternally. And he understood that in a way that probably most of the throng that was with Jesus did not. And later, in Mark 12, when Jesus was teaching at the temple, he brought up this very thing about being the son of David. And that made me think, do I recognize who Jesus really is? For many people, Jesus is this, what I call a happy man figure. Jesus is my friend. And so, you know, I have troubles, I take them to Jesus. And sad, I take it to Jesus. But Jesus is our Savior. For Bartimaeus, his entire hope focused on Jesus. And that's the way it should be for us as well. We understand that our entire hope is focused on Jesus. And then Bartimaeus persisted. People told him, don't yell like that. Let's be more tactful. But Bartimaeus didn't. And I find it interesting that as soon as Jesus called for him, they changed their tune and they said, you know, they went from saying, shh, 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 don't. They said, oh, hey, yeah, come on. He's calling you. And often that's kind of the way we are too. It's political. We like to go with the thing that's the good thing there, or the fun thing to do, or the popular thing to do. And so we'll quickly change, you know, depending who we're with or what the cool person or what the person in authority says. Oh yeah, we'll quickly jump. And that's what these people did. But Bartimaeus didn't care. He was still focused. He was still focused on Christ. Because when he was in the middle of them saying, you know, be quiet, he didn't have just a half-hearted attempt. He didn't just pull it down a couple decibels. He kept on shouting as loudly as he could. And it makes me again think, how anxious am I to be rid of my sin, my spiritual blindness? Is just a half-hearted effort okay? Am I all right with just kind of partway giving things to Jesus? Or am I going to be fully committed? And then when he went to Jesus, he left his coat behind, threw it off and jumped up and went. And if you think Bartimaeus was not a rich man, if he would have been, he wouldn't have had to be there begging. And coats were important. They were important enough that Jesus brought it up when he said, if someone sues you and takes away your coat, give them your cloak too. You know, it was an important part of his material possessions. But he left it behind. It wasn't as valuable to him as getting his vision back. He left something valuable for something even more valuable. And often for me, I like to hang on to those things a little bit. Yeah, I want what Christ has to offer, but I kind of like this old coat back here, this old raggedy coat that I had from when I was begging. But it was an evidence of his faith. He didn't expect to be going back there. When he got up, he wasn't planning on going back. He left it behind, and it was an evidence of his faith and of his eagerness to go from that old sitting beside the road there to the new life of Christ. And then when he got to Christ, he humbly requested sight. He said, Lord, even though just minutes before he was boisterous and loud trying to reach Christ, in the presence of God, he was in awe. And that's the way it is with us too. When we find ourselves in the presence of God, there is an awe. And when he requested sight, that's all he requested. He didn't say, Lord, I want my sight and I've lost all these years of work. If I could have the wages, you know, recompense to me from that, I didn't have insurance, you know, that would be great too. No, he still focused on that one important thing, sight. He wasn't sidetracked. And then he was healed. Jesus understood his faith. Jesus understood his position, that he had been a beggar, that Jesus knew, I believe, that he had left his coat behind, but he didn't say anything about it. Jesus didn't, at least we don't have a record that he did, that Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to heal you, but you make sure you run back there and get your coat now, and if you're going to follow me, you're going to want that thing. He didn't. He just said, your faith is going to heal you. Jesus also understood what was the most important thing there. And then finally, he followed Jesus. This wasn't something that happened to him, and then he didn't care anymore. This was so important to him that because of this incident, he followed Jesus. His new sight also led to new life. And I like to think that maybe he was one of the disciples that it talks about being there with Jesus when he was crucified. It says that there were those that were around. And I like to think that maybe he was one of those there. And his understanding even here was opened. So he said, Jesus, thou son of David, but I like to think that now his understanding of Jesus as a Messiah was opened even wider, and he followed Jesus in the way, went beyond physical healing to spiritual redemption. So there's many things in this story I love, how Bartimaeus was hopeful, persistent, believing. He was rewarded, and then he was faithful. And his example is one that can guide us today as we look to Christ, the healer of our souls, the opener of our spiritual eyes, and a Savior worthy of praise.